This is the story of the one. As a maintenance tech at a university, he knows ordering from multiple suppliers takes time away from keeping their arena up and running. That's why he counts on Grainger to get everything he needs, from lighting and HVAC parts to plumbing supplies, all in one place. And with fast, dependable delivery, he's stocked and ready for the next tip-off. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. This is Todd Starnes, and it is great to be back with you. Thank you for joining us today, and we're going to have a good conversation over the next 3 hours, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Wow. Jeez-a-loo, America. What a wild week or so it has been. And I can't say enough good things about the cavalcade of hosts that were filling in for me over the past little while as I was recovering from a pretty serious situation, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But thank you so much for all of the, when I say thousands, really tens of thousands of incredible notes that you guys sent me through social media, through texting, and through emails. And I'm going to do my best to try to answer everybody, but that may be somewhat impossible. So I just want to say thank you, and we certainly appreciate the great team here that kept the train on the tracks as I went through my little health hiccup. So last week, and really for the past, I don't know, month or so, I had not been feeling very well. And many of you know, when I was in my 30s, I had to have a pretty major open heart surgery, and had a mechanical aortic valve installed, the St. Jude valve. And as a result of that, you know, I've had a pretty rough go of it with the health over the years. And then again, over the past couple of months, feeling a little weary. And the last weekend, I was out trying to get some exercise. And I realized that every, I don't know, 50 feet or so, and Dylan, you know the area quite well, at beautiful Shelby Farms in Memphis, Tennessee, the largest or one of the largest urban parks in America. We have our own herd of bison. I mean, that's how large the thing is.
It is quite big, yeah.
So if you're, you know, again, if you're, you know, ever jogging in the area and you see bison, you're not hallucinating. There are actually bison grazing there, among other things. I mean, there are people doing the goat yoga and the little pig yoga and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, every 50 yards, I was getting out of breath, and I thought, what is going on here? So I sent my cardiologist a note, and so then I didn't think much about it, didn't get a response. We were doing the show, and I just felt my blood pressure going up and up and up, and there was really no reason. We didn't get a lot of liberal calls that day. There was no reason for my blood pressure to shoot up through the roof. And so during the commercial break, I reached out to my cardiologist. He says, get off the air and come to the office. And so I think at that time my blood pressure was like 200 over 111. And he said, off to the hospital you go. And from there I was at Baptist East. You know, all the hospitals here are like, I think, religious hospitals. And, you know, I'm Southern Baptist, so, you know, if I got to go, I got to go with my people. And the Baptists do a pretty good job. So, Dylan, this is what's really funny. So when you're in a situation like that, cardiologists don't have hospital admitting procedures. So normally they would call and they would prearrange it and you would go and they would put you in the cardiac care unit. I had to go to the ER. That's the process. And I was there, you're not going to believe it, 9 hours.
Oh, my.
9 hours. And so one of the pastors from our church came. This is great. And he was somewhat stunned to see me. And It was a dangerous emergency room. I'm not going to lie. It was dangerous. I mean, there was wild stuff going down. And I made sure that I was in a corner seat, so I had the whole view of the, just in case, you know, people started shooting, I would be able to, you know, do something, which was not much, just bleed out, I guess. I don't know. So anyway, the pastor comes in and he says, you know, I kind of figured they had like a special entrance for folks like you, talking about celebrities. I said, not at Baptist East. We're all on the same boat here. So they had me, I mean, I was maybe in the ER for about 2 hours in the waiting room, and then they had me in a gurney for the like the other 7 hours. And Dylan, here's the crazy thing. I was in a gurney, that so I was technically unhoused. I think that's the Gen Z term. So they were treating me. They had no rooms in the hospital. And they had me right outside of a literal crime scene. And there were state troopers, and there was this crazy woman who had been arrested and chained to the bed. And so then they bring me like a, I don't know, a turkey sandwich. And I'm like, well, thank you. Dinner and a show.
Yeah, you got the front row seat there.
I was pretty impressed. So anyway,
later, that'll take your mind off things.
Right. No, it will. I was like, wow, how about that? And I was like getting visitors. And I'm like, the two of my favorite people in the world, we called them the Real Housewives of Germantown, and they came rushing in, and I'm like, how did you get in? They don't allow people who are not family back. They said, we told them we were your doctors. They were using like medical jargon or something. We're here to see our patient, Todd Starnes. Stat! Get me a stethoscope. And the next thing you know, they were ushering them through. Dylan, you could have said, I've got a thermometer. They would have let you through.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, the genius.
But can I tell you, through the whole thing, and I had to have this thing called a cardiac catheterizer. I don't know if you guys have a cardiac cath, but they go through your wrist, and it's quite the adventure. But anyway, I have 90% blockage in the artery, and they said it's like the Widowmaker. So the cardiologist is like, dude, he says, I don't know how much you've been given in the offering plate. But you better double it, because I came close to you know, not being with us on last Friday. And so anyway, it's they got me all patched up, and we've had a few complications, and I'm bruised up quite a bit. But the good story, I guess the bottom line here, is that I'm going to be okay. And I love that, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm very blessed for that, and I'm blessed to have a wonderful family and an incredible staff here at the radio station and our network, and all of you great listeners who have been such a great encouragement to me. And you know, Dylan, there are so many life experiences, but I do feel one source of great regret, and it has been troubling me, and I have not been sleeping well, and I thought it was because of all of this, but I think it's just been something that I really have to confess to our national radio audience. And this is a tough thing, you know, for a talk show. You know, we're pretty open on this show, I think, right? I mean, we kind of talk about everything on this program.
We're pretty honest. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but, you know, there's always a part of you that you don't want to share, you know, with the listening audience. And I was thinking a lot about that. And I thought, you know, I got to make this right, because I have made a pretty serious mistake, a pretty grave mistake. And I think it has to be addressed. And before we, that's why I wanted to start the show with this, get it out of the way. You know, like, I don't know, you know, the New York Times, when they make a mistake, they put the story on the front page, right? And then they like bury it, like, you know, the correction on page 72. So I wanted to get this out in the first segment of the show. And I want you to just, I know a lot of you folks are at lunch hour on the East Coast, so just pause for just a moment and hear me on this. I am just extremely, extremely sorry. And I want to apologize truly from the bottom of my, well, flawed heart. I want to apologize, because I really, truly, with all of my heart, I really did believe that gravy was a lubricant. I really did. I had no idea. They did pop my hood, and they found gravy on that dipstick. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Looking forward to hearing from you. Give me a holler. I've been waiting to talk to you guys for a long time. Dylan, are you all right over there?
I had a feeling that's what you were going to do.
No, my doctor, I'm like, geez. I'm like,
all this time.
Wow,
you know, you
all
were saying,
this time. Yeah. I mean, first, I really did believe that the TV ads that pork was the other white meat, which it's not. And then right. That sausage gravy, it really does lump up. Who would have thought? All right, 901-260-5926. By the way, if you haven't been to TodStarch.com, we have brand new stories posted today, a lot of fresh content. We'll get to all of that. Folks, this is The Todd Starnes Show.
If you work in university maintenance, Grainger considers you an MVP because your playbook ensures your arena is always ready for tip-off, and Grainger is your trusted partner, offering the products you need all in one place, from HVAC and plumbing supplies to lighting and more. And all delivered with plenty of time left on the clock, so your team always gets the win. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, visit Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We're celebrating the fact that I am still alive today. Let's go to the phones. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Philip in Gainesville, Georgia. WDUN, our great affiliate there. Hi, Philip. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. I'm calling to wish you the best with your health and welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, sir. No, you know, Philip, as much as I know a lot of people, you know, they look forward to noon to three Eastern. I think this is my favorite 3 hours of the day. And to not be able to sit down and hang out with you guys has been excruciatingly painful.
Yeah, I tune in every day at 12 o'clock, every chance I get to listen to your show, and I've been listening for about five or six years, and next time you're in Gainesville, if the doctor approves, I'll buy you lunch at the Collegiate Grill.
Philip, you know what they serve at the Collegiate Grill, those delicious, heart-healthy chili slaw dogs.
they do, but they may have a salad.
Okay, that ought to be a sin. No, if they actually serve a salad, that ought to be like a culinary sin. No salads at the Collegiate.
I totally agree. I don't know if they've got it on their menu. I always go for the cheeseburger or chili dog myself.
Well, you're not going to go wrong with that chili slaw dog. All right, Philip, thank you for that, and thank you for reminding me of what I can no longer have. I appreciate that. Dylan, I've been to parts of the supermarket I did not even know existed.
Yeah, there's a lot of different colors, you know, in certain sections of vegetables and fruits. I myself am in the same way.
Do you know they make something called low-fat milk? Have you heard about this?
Oh, man. Yeah. Don't get me started on milk.
It's basically, you know how they have chalk, you know, the old chalkboards?
Yes.
And it's like they put the chalk in a blender and poured water in it, and that's pretty much low-fat milk.
That's what you're drinking, yeah.
Which I poured on something called Cascadia Farms Heart Healthy Granola.
Wow. What a snack.
I noticed yes. Yesterday at breakfast, I started to, after 2 days of eating that granola, I started to lean left just a little bit. So I don't know what that's all about.
Were you searching up Subarus by chance as
no,
well?
No, I was not.
Okay, that's good.
Not,
good. You're not too far gone.
Yeah, I don't parallel park. So look, here's the, I'm not sure what that means. So look, here's the deal. I have to share this one more story. We're going to get to the news of the day in the next segment, but I've got to share this with you folks. So it is so painful in that hospital. They're poking and prodding me all over the place. And they came in and they do the mood light. They have mood lighting in these. I mean, it's a Baptist hospital. So I was kind of surprised, but they got the mood lighting. So anyway, I guess it was like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and the nurse comes in. and she just slightly, slightly begins to, like, raise the lights. And I thought, is that Isaac Hayes at Baptist East Hospital? And she said, "Good morning, Todd." And I'm like, "Good morning, nurse." And she brings the lights up a little bit more, Dylan. True story. True story. And I'm looking at her. And she's, this is terrible. She's holding, like, I know these lotions. And she's got something else. And I couldn't see it because, you know, the lights were just still dim. And I'm thinking, why is Isaac Hayes playing at Baptist East Hospital? And then I saw it. She kept walking closer and closer. And I don't know, I was still sort of groggy. And she was just, quite frankly, a little sultry. Kind of like, I don't know, I was at the Methodist Hospital. And then I suddenly realized what she had in the other arm, Dylan, in the other hand. She was holding a Bic razor. And I realized something in just about 30 seconds, that when the nurse comes in and there's mood lighting and Isaac Hayes playing over the intercom system, and your nurse has lotions and a razor, it ain't spa day at Baptist East Hospital. I'm just telling you.
Wow. You do have to set the mood for those things. You can't just go in and and just do it.
No.
So I understand her. The meaning.
And here's what I didn't understand afterwards. And I did ask this as they were, we're done with Isaac Hayes now. Here's the worst part of the story. And it didn't dawn on me until I got home. And I actually emailed the hospital about this. And I said, I need to get some information here. And here's the thing. They did all of that. And let me tell you, it's a little breezy. And they went in through the wrist. So I'm like, what was the point? What was the point?
All that wrist hair you got.
Clearly.
The grizzly bear.
Well, it is now. You know, it grows back like, you know, three or four times as much.
Guess so. So
I'm going to look like a bear coming out of the shirt now.
Oh, no.
We're going to have to Photoshop that or something. So anyway, all that to say, for those of you still listening, I want to thank, by the way, the great folks at Baptist East Hospital. I have never been so well taken care of. As a matter of fact, the president of the hospital came down to visit, and I just had to brag on the entire staff. There was one sweet lady, and she was there all the time, the overnight nurse, and she made sure anything I needed I was able to get. And her name was Monisha, and just did a wonderful job. And all of the doctors, and of course my doctor, the Stern Cardiovascular, if really we have some of the finest doctors and medical facilities in the Mid-South, and really in America, right here in the Mid-South. And I just can't say enough good things about all of those great people. So thank you all so very much. All right. 901-260-5926. Coming up, we have major, major political news happening across the nation. Here in Tennessee, there is all you-know-what breaking loose right now at the state capitol. They've got state troopers inside the building hauling out these raging Democrats, and we're going to get into that story. We have some insane audio. Also, we're going to be talking a little bit later on with Wendy Patrick, who is covering politics from California. A couple of amazing things, a gubernatorial debate, and also this mayoral race, and Spencer Pratt, the reality TV star, that guy is kicking butt in the mayor's race. So we're going to be talking to Wendy about that. Josh Jones is here. And Dr. Robert Jeffress, we're going to talk about aliens. What does the Bible really say about aliens? We're going to talk about that coming up. And 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. What an honor to have you with us today. And what an honor it is for me to be back behind this microphone. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. There is some brand new polling data out, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. I have been keeping up with as much as possible with the news. The doctor told me, you know, you got to turn off the TV and you got to turn off the social medias. And I think that may be even more stressful. So he said, all right, you can, you know, get back to the news. And I saw this interesting story. This polling data came out late yesterday. President Trump's approval ratings are beginning to be impacted by the war. Now, according to the new Marist poll, 60% of adult American voters disapprove of how President Trump is handling Iran. That is up 54% in March. And I believe that these numbers may be somewhat low. And the reason why is, according to the Marist poll, more than 7 in 10 Republicans approve of the president's approach. And I'm questioning those numbers. I think those numbers are actually a little smaller. And I say that because most of the Generation Z MAGA voters, and I would throw in the millennials, so let's just say Gen Z and millennial voters, who made up a pretty good chunk of President Trump's victory numbers in November, strongly oppose the war in Iran. 61% of Americans say U.S. military action in Iran has done more harm than good. 62% of Americans think the U.S. role in the world stage has been weakened to President Trump's decisions. I don't buy that. I don't buy that part of the polling data. 22% of Americans believe the U.S.'s position globally has deteriorated due to the president's actions. Now, this is where it gets interesting because, again, the war, these numbers don't matter if this war can get wrapped up. But here's the big problem, and it's a challenge for the president. This is going to go on forever. And the problem is nobody knows how to end this thing. And they're just going to let this linger, and I don't think that's good. I think there has to be some sort of a resolution here. And I know a number of you folks called in early on, and you said that you were very concerned about this, about a forever war. Now, some folks are saying, well, you know what, it's not forever wars because it's only been, what, 8 weeks, 10 weeks? Yes, but they promised it was only going to be at a 4 to 5 week war. But that's not those numbers go away. If the war ends, that doesn't matter anymore. People have short-term memory. These are the numbers that I'm concerned about. A majority of Americans say their local cost of living is not very affordable. That's 44%. Or some saying it's not affordable at all. That's up from 26% around the holidays. A majority of Republicans, 51%, say the local cost of living is affordable. Nearly half of Democrats say it's not very affordable. A majority of independents, 51%, say the area they live, not very affordable. That's a big deal because it's always about the economy, always about the economy. More than 6 in 10 say the economy is not working well for them personally. 37% believe the economy is benefiting them. Are you connecting to any of these numbers? Are you feeling this, for example? And I'd love to hear from folks around the country to see what you guys are dealing with as far as prices going up, gas prices going up, grocery prices going up. I know in California during the debate a couple of nights ago, you know, the Democrats were blaming Donald Trump for the high price of gasoline, and God love Steve Hilton, because Hilton got out there and said, wait a second, Donald Trump has nothing to do with the cost of gasoline being high. the reason why California has the highest gas prices is because of all of the state-imposed fees and regulations imposed by the Democrats. But I am curious if any of you are connecting with these numbers. More than 8 in 10 people are feeling pain at the gas pump. They say that it has either been a major strain on them, 33%, minor strain, 48%, on their household budget. So who do Americans blame for the increase in gas prices? Well, 63% of residents say a great deal or a good amount of blame goes on President Trump, and that includes, well, no surprise here, 89% of Democrats, 32% of Republicans, and here's the number we've got to be focused on, 63% of independents. 37% place little or no blame for the increased gas prices on the president. And again, the war goes away, those gas prices are going to plummet. Now, according to the poll, on a generic congressional ballot, and here's where it's going to get interesting, and Kevin McCarthy's got some things to say about this. On a generic congressional ballot, Democrats are going to pick up 10 congressional seats. They do that, they take control of the House of Representatives. A majority of registered voters nationally, 52%, say they are more likely to vote for the Democrat on the ballot in their district than the Republican. 4% say they plan to support another candidate, 2% not sure. When last reported in March, the Democrat on the ballot was 9 percentage points against the Republican candidate. Among independent voters, the Democrats were getting 49 to 37% for the Republican. And those are some of the interesting numbers. Now, look, 3 and 4 enthusiastic about the upcoming midterm elections. Are you looking forward to the midterm elections? You know, we've been talking a lot about on this program about the momentum. Who's got the big mo? And I still think that the Republicans had the momentum. I mean, they're in shambles, right? It's a mess. It's a big mess. But it's even worse on the Democrat side. And if we can just make sure that our mess does not get larger than the Democrat mess, then I think we're going to be okay. And I actually think we're going to be able to maintain control. But I just want to hear from you. What do you think the Republicans need to do to maintain control of Congress? I know Kevin McCarthy's out there, and we're going to get some audio from him in just a little while. But Kevin McCarthy is really, really riled up about this, and he's blaming House leadership. Well, I don't think that's the place to blame right now. If you want to look for somebody to blame, you better look at John Thune and those folks over in the Republican-controlled Senate. All that to say, if all of this data is true, and I think some of it is, I think there is a voter apathy issue with Republican voters. We're seeing this in election after election and at primary after primary. I think there's Republican voters are demoralized. Republican voters that they want to get behind these candidates. You guys sent them to Washington and they made us promises. And once again, they've turned their back on us. And they keep telling us, give us one more chance. And many of you are tired of that. But in spite of all of this, I still think we're going to be able to win in the fall. I shudder, and here's the reason why I'm hoping. We just cannot allow these Democrats to win back Congress. We can't do it. The president's agenda comes to a grinding halt. So anyway, curious to hear your thoughts here. We've got to take a quick break. But again, this polling data, are you feeling the price pinch, and what do Republicans need to do to guarantee your vote and also to light a fire under you to get out and vote? Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Our segment today brought to you by our good friends at Newsmax. A new study finds that 70% of Americans are not getting the full benefits they deserve from Social Security. You know, 70 million of you folks are already getting Social Security benefits. But there are some simple strategies that you can use to boost your Social Security benefits, but get this, by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. A Social Security expert, Michael Allen, says this is true, and he reveals all five of these key strategies. It's in his free special report. Newsmax says the report is your best guide for bigger Social Security benefits. I want you to give them a call. Write down this number, 800-999-9690. Again, that number, 800-999-9690. We're going to text it to you right away and get that information to you courtesy of our friends at Newsmax. I'll say the number one more time, 800-999-9690. All right. I want you, by the way, to get yourself a pre-ordered copy of my brand new book. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. You can get a copy online. You can pre-order at your favorite bookstore, Barnes Noble, Books A Million, of course, Amazon, and order as many as you possibly can. I want you to read this book because it includes not only a celebration of what God has already done through Donald Trump for our nation, but what lies ahead? So I hope you get a copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Randy in Helen, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Randy, what's on your mind today?
I wanted to respond to your questions. Number one was about the voting. I'm 68, and over the decades, I have been appalled at our most valuable civic duty. People take it so casually, and I think if Republicans would vote, we wouldn't have a problem. We could win these things, and they're just not voting, and they're just staying home, and then they want to complain about it. And the other thing was, are we feeling the pinch? Yeah, somewhat. My wife and I are retired. We're both on Social Security, so we're doing okay. But make a long story short, thank God for Governor Kemp here in Georgia. He's like for the second or third time has taken the gas tax away so they could be better. Steaks are just unaffordable and you know, a lot of things like that. But we're getting by. And so concerning what's going on in Iran, I think most Americans are more than willing to take a short-term pinch for long-term benefits, you know, and have this Iranian problem, you know, gone for good. So that's my post.
You know, Randy, it's interesting. The CNN had some polling data out today, and they're showing that Trump is not losing Republican support. You know, and this is not a Trump issue as much as it is a congressional issue. And the congressional Republicans are just not doing their job, and they're not doing things to motivate the base. And I think that's one of the ways that voters are expressing their disapproval, is that, you know, they're just somewhat demoralized. But I don't care how demoralized somebody is, Randy. We cannot allow the Democrats to retake Congress in the fall. We just can't do that.
And I'll tell you this one last thing. That's why we voted for Trump, because he does what he says. You know, he may need just to keep his mouth shut sometimes. Some of his statements are crazy, but his policies are spot on. But to make a long story short, you have policies ready to go, and you have a Congress. You got several rhinos, and if they can find a way to lose, they're going to find it, and it's just amazing.
Mm. Randy, thank you for the call. Let's go to Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC. Charles, what's on your mind today?
Well, hey, Todd, welcome back, and wish you a speedy recovery there, my friend.
Charles, thank you, and thank you for your kind note you sent me. I really appreciated that.
Oh, you're welcome. So, Todd, here's my take. There's a couple of things I think the Republicans need to do. Number one, to win the midterms, we need to pass the SAVE Act, not just to secure elections, but for Trump to show his base that he's willing to go to the mat for him, even if it means calling in a special legislative session of the Senate to get it done. I mean, with 80% of the of voters out there supporting that, there's just no reason that it shouldn't get done. And this is just once again how Republican leadership in the Senate, John Thune, is just messing things up, and people are just frustrated. And secondly, Todd, you know, the American people will put up with a lot. They'll make a lot of sacrifices, But one thing that the American people are not going to put up with long term is if you make them poor. You make them poor through higher gas prices, which results in higher food prices and everything else. And Americans have to struggle economically. Right now, Todd, I'm seeing that with a lot of my friends. I mean, they're telling me this, you know, privately, that they are really struggling. And in my opinion, the one thing that is keeping Trump's poll numbers up right now among his base, and it could go away quickly, is if there's like a 10 or 15,000 correction on the Dow Jones and people see their 401ks go down the tube. If that happens and you combine that with the high gas prices that we have now, I'm afraid we may be looking at something that happened in 2008 when you had a horrific candidate in John McCain and the alternative was Barack Obama. I mean, what the Democrats are offering, Todd, is nothing but communism, Marxism, socialism. It's the worst of all possible worlds, in my opinion. But the one thing that could put them in power is if Republicans don't do something now to end this war as soon as possible and get this economy going in the right direction.
Yeah, I know. Look, I hear you on that. And these are all quick fixes here. And first of all, Iran, and I know you disagree with me on this, but Iran needed to be taken care of. The problem I have is Iran was not taken care of immediately. And we should have been able to go in there and do what needed to be done in 5 to 6 weeks or 4 to 5 weeks and get out of there. That did not happen. And nobody really knows now why we are over there and what's going on. Are we, you know, nobody knows. That's a big problem. So the White House, they're going to figure this out. And if they don't, to your point, this is going to lead to problems, especially if this lingers on into the summer months. But I want you to take a look, Charles, at what happened in Indiana this week. The president of the United States cleaned house in those state district races. What is it? 5 out of the 7 that he endorsed, those were the anti-Trump lawmakers who refused to redistrict. They're out of jobs now. That tells me that the American people, and especially in the heartland, are still supporting the president here. And it also tells me that every single state has to do unto the Democrats as they have done to us. And we're going to be talking about the redistricting battles coming up, Charles, but we have got to make sure that Republicans redistrict at the same rate that the Democrats are doing. I'll give you the last word here. You got 30 seconds.
Yeah, 100%, Todd. And as far as what happened in Indiana, I wish and hope that Donald Trump would take that same posture to John Thune and other members in the U.S. Senate and call for new leadership or just, you know, endorse the political candidate of, you know, like you know, endorse Lindsey Graham's challenger, you know. But we've got to get rid of these rhinos. And we've got to get this agenda codified and implemented. And I think that if we do that, and then Trump will be fine and Republicans will win the midterm.
All right. Charles, I've got to leave it there. Good to hear from you, my friend. And thank you again for that kind note. We will continue the conversation after this top of the hour news break. In the meantime, I hope you head over to ToddStearns.com. Check out all of our great stories and content. We'll be chatting with all of you over on our live show blog. That's over on our YouTube channel. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And yes, it's me, Todd Stearns. Good to be back with you. You know, it seemed like I was away for a year, Dylan. It was, what, 7, 8 days, 9 days. Wow.
In Todd Stearns' time, it feels longer than it is.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it does. And if we could have found a way to do the show live from the heart surgery operating room, we would have done that.
I did think I offered to bring the Comrex over.
You did do that.
I don't know if they would let me do that for you, but... You
know. By the way, they gave me a Benadryl. You know, they gave me some Benadryl. I don't do well with the drugs. So they put that stuff into my IV. And I am, again, guess what I ended up hearing? I heard Isaac Hayes. I mean, the nurse is there, and she's squeezing this Benadryl. She says, all right, this is going to be a little shock to your system there. And I'm like, well, okay, I'll see what I can do. And so I sort of position myself, but all of a sudden I hear Isaac Hayes music again. And honest to goodness, you could feel, Dylan, the Benadryl like churning through your veins. And I know we have Dr. Robert Jeffress on the line, and I may have to repent for this in a minute. But all of a sudden, I felt like I was having an out-of-body experience. I felt like I was like lifting off of the hospital bed, and the nurse is like, oh, are you feeling it? And I'm like, oh, I'm feeling it, nurse. I'm feeling it, nurse. And she told me, she goes, just let go. Just let go and enjoy.
Wow.
And I said, okay. Okay. And then I threw up. So apparently I'm allergic to Benadryl. So anyway, so much for that.
You just let go. It all go.
All that to say, it's great to be back with you. So anyway, I thought when I saw this story, I thought I was still hallucinating from the Benadryl. But there is a weird story going around about a bunch of preachers. And I don't know any of these guys. I think I may know one of them. I don't know any of the rest of them. So here's how the story goes. I know many of you have seen this. So these preachers were summoned to a Tennessee Airbnb to meet secretly with government officials about space aliens. And as they were meeting and talking about these space aliens, they were told that they needed to start preparing their congregations for this revelation. And, you know, we've all been waiting for the revelation of the UFOs and all the spaceships. And one of the preachers said that they were told of lizard people that were apparently like mating with humans. I don't know what that's all about. So anyway, now apparently one of the preachers is sort of walking back all of these revelations. And if you ask me, I'm wondering if maybe there was, I don't know, a big old jug of Tennessee sipping whiskey somewhere in that Airbnb. And because none of this makes sense to me. But a lot of you have had questions about aliens and all this other stuff. I wanted to bring in our good friend, great American patriot, one of the finest pastors in the world, Dr. Robert Jeffress from the First Baptist Church in Dallas. Dr. Jeffress, I do apologize for that introduction, but I hope you're doing well.
Well, please don't apologize. I have one of those out-of-body experiences every night after my pint of Häagen-Dazs vanilla ice cream. So I know exactly what you're talking about. We all have our thing. Yours isn't Benadryl for sure. Hey, Todd, seriously, we're all glad that you're doing better. We've been praying for you, and welcome back.
Thank you, Dr. Jeffress. Thank you. What do you make of this story? It's the strangest story I've ever heard.
Well, I'm hacked. I didn't get my invitation, you know, to the Airbnb for the big summit. But, you know, I have no idea about that. I've not heard about it, just heard what you have heard about it. But it does, you know, bring up a bigger question about aliens, and is there some revelation coming to us about aliens? I may surprise you about this, Todd, but actually, I wouldn't be that surprised if there was something to it. I don't think there is anything in the Bible that prohibits aliens on other planets. People need to remember this about the Bible. First of all, the Bible tells us everything we need to know. And secondly, everything the Bible tells us is true. But third, the Bible doesn't tell us everything. And we've got to accept that. I mean, you know, in John's Gospel closes with, there were many other things Jesus did than were recorded in this book. And the there wouldn't be a book enough, large enough to contain everything that he did. I think it's true with information about the universe. God's told us everything we need to know, but he doesn't tell us everything we want to know necessarily.
So I've never heard anybody say that, that, you know, the Bible doesn't, and I mean, when you think about it, you're right. The Bible doesn't tell us about everything, but wouldn't the Bible tell us something as big as that? Because if in fact there are, let's just say, all right, for the sake of the argument, yeah, there is life on other planets. How does that, or does that change or impact the Old Testament and the creation story?
Not at all. I mean, the first verse of Genesis 1 is, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's a Hebrew expression, the heavens and the earth, for universe. The Hebrews didn't have a word that encompassed universe. Their saying was the heavens and the earth. God created it all, verse 1. And then verse 2 centers on what was happening on planet Earth. Doesn't necessarily tell us when. There could be a large gap between verses 1 and 2, the creation of the universe billions of years ago, and then zeroing in on what happened on planet Earth. So, again, the Bible doesn't tell us everything. We would think that would be a big deal that God should have told us if it's true. But it's a big deal to us because we have such a limited perspective. You know, I'm doing a series on creation right now. Think of the size of the universe. Our Milky Way galaxy is no bigger than a grain of sand on the Sahara Desert compared to the vastness of the universe. That's hard for us to comprehend, but it shows you what a great God we have.
Well, it does, and I do know that there are many mysteries and things that we will really never know the answer to. It's really fascinating. I've never heard this explanation before, and I think it certainly makes a lot of sense, because a lot of people, it's either one extreme or the other. It's like, oh, well, they're all demons, evil creatures. I think the vice president, you know, believes that to be the case. And then there are others who believe, no, there really are extraterrestrial beings out there.
But here's what I want to be clear about. What I need to know and what the Bible tells me is I live on this planet and I have a sin problem. I need God's forgiveness. And thank God, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this planet to pay for my sins and offer me the hope of eternal life. That's what I need to know.
Dr. Robert Jeffers is joining us, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. You know, Dr. Jeffers, I know Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna has been encouraging Americans to read something called the Book of Enoch. It is not part of the Bible that we have in our churches, and I'm wondering, what's your take on that? Is that something that maybe people should do?
You know, I've heard of the Book of Enoch, but, you know, what we need to understand is the canon of the Bible, that is, the books that ought to be in the Bible, has been well settled. For the Old Testament, it was settled as early as 400 B.C., the fact is, when Jesus walked the earth, there was no question about the Old Testament. There's never been any attempt to add any books to the Old Testament. The Jews have recognized that as God's complete word in the Old Testament. The New Testament, by 300 or so A.D., there's never been any attempt to add some of these spurious books or secondary books to the New Testament. So I would say there may be some historical value in reading that, but there's nothing in the Book of Enoch that you need to know that will help save your soul for eternity.
So I guess there's really, I don't think there's anything wrong with asking a lot of questions, right, about things like aliens and a lot of people focus on the Book of Revelation and when Christ is coming back. But at the end of the day, I don't think that's really the most important part about our relationship with God.
No, it's not. I mean, God has created other planets, other worlds, and so forth. But our problem is this world that I live in and I'm going to die on. And how do I get out from this world to the next world?
By the way, I have to tell you, when I was, you know, I go to the Baptist hospital. I figure if I'm going to go, I'm going to be with my people. And it was really cool. They actually say prayers over the entire intercom system every day and through the entire hospital.
Oh, they better watch out. The Freedom from Religion Foundation after them.
I know. We'll just keep that among us Baptists. But Dr. Jeffers, when you look at what's happening, I want to switch gears just for a second. In Texas, there has been just a lot of concern about what's happening in Texas with the rise of Islam and, you know, the Islamification of some towns and communities, Sharia being, you know, people trying to implement Sharia. Are you hearing that? Is that a big of a deal as we are hearing on the national stage?
It seems to be growing. It seems to be a problem. What the problem is on one hand, we need to recognize the right of people to practice their faith, whoever they are. We don't want people telling us as Christians what we can and cannot do in worshiping, and there is a freedom of religious expression. But there's also a limit to that in the sense that as a government, the government can't allow people to break the law in practice of their faith. And that's what's tricky here because, you know, we don't want any regulations against free religious expression boomeranging on us one day when they surely will. But, you know, there's an effort right now to at a water park here in Dallas to have a Sharia-only, Muslim-only day there. And it looks like our Texas government is fighting against that. But it's a tricky issue, but very clearly nobody has a right to practice a faith that hurts other people or discriminates against other people.
Well said. Well, Dr. Jeffers, really appreciate your really...
Hey, Todd,
yeah,
could I put in a plug for Rededicate 250 in Washington, D.C., Sunday, May 17th. I'm going to be speaking there, Franklin Graham, a number of leaders on the National Mall. President Trump is calling us to have a day of rededication to God, and I hope everybody will come who can to the National Mall May 17th or live stream it. It's going to be a great day.
We're going to get you back on between now and then to promote that, and we're going to post a link to that over on our website and our live show chat, freedom250.org, folks. You'll be able to go there and find about all of the speakers and all of the great information there. It's going to be a wonderful day. And Dr. Jeffers, we're so excited that you're a part of that that incredible group of great Christian men that are going to be there in Washington, D.C. Look forward to seeing you there.
I will, too. Bring your Benadryl with you.
You bring the Haagen-Dazs. Okay. All right. Thanks, Dr. Jeffers. All right. We got to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, this segment of the program brought to you by our friends at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and we love Patriot Mobile. You know, I've heard from so many of you, I mean, gosh, we've got about 25, 30 messages from folks directly who have said, Todd, made the switch, and we love it. They say everything you said about Patriot Mobile was absolutely true. Well, of course. Why would I not? Why would it not be true? And I get it because if you've got a cell phone, you know how difficult some of those folks can be, and you never talk to anybody, and it takes forever. Well, the great thing about Patriot Mobile is that their customer service team is based right here in America, and they all speak English, and that is worth it right there. But they keep it so hassle-free. You can keep your number, you keep your phone, you can upgrade. And again, all of the efforts that Patriot Mobile is engaged in is to protect our freedom and our liberty. And they're at all of the NRA shows, the Gun Owners of America, all of the pro-life groups. They are deeply involved in the America First movement. So I want you to go check them out, patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or give them a call. Write this number down, 972-PATRIOT. All right, that's pretty easy to remember, 972-PATRIOT. Now, if you tell them promo code Todd, they're going to get you a free month of service. So 972-PATRIOT or patriotmobile.com/Todd. Well, all you know what is breaking loose right now at the Tennessee State House in Nashville. The president of the United States told Governor Bill Lee, we got to redistrict. We've got to get rid of Steve Cohen's seat. Now, many of our listeners in Memphis on KWAM, you know all about Steve Cohen. This guy is he is really a nasty piece of work, this guy. And he is the Democrat representing the majority black city of Memphis. No doubt about it, Memphis, majority black city. All right. So anyway, the House today officially approved a redistricting plan that breaks Memphis up into three different congressional districts, eliminating Steve Cohen's position. So he's going to get booted out of Congress. He will probably get a job, I don't know, working the counter at KFC or drive-thru. I don't know. That's Steve Cohen. He's just not a very nice person. Now, all of these black activists in Memphis are going insane, and they're accusing President Trump of all sorts of things. This is Justin Pearson. Take a listen to, I'm sorry, you know what? Hold on. Let's play Gloria Johnson. Let's listen to Gloria. She's a white chick, but you'll get the flavor. Cut nine.
It is a lie. We do not have to be here. We're costing our counties a fortune. We are making a mockery of this body and of this state. We are the shame of the nation and the shame of this state. We are here to take away the voices of black voters and the people of Memphis, to crack their districts and dilute their voices. You should be ashamed, but guess what? I know that you're not. This is not a special session. This is a white power rally and a white power grab. That is what this is. And you can deny it all you want, but the people in this state know better. They don't want partisan gerrymandering. They don't want gerrymandering by race. They don't want any of it.
All right, there you go. Hey, Dylan, you ever seen Big Gloria? She's about 6'4". She's a big gal.
Oh, yes, I have.
Kind of looks like a white Medea, that woman. All right, got to take a quick break. We're gonna lay all of this out coming up after the break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. All you Memphis folks, what do you think about Steve Cohen getting the heave-ho? We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. All you know what, H-E double hockey sticks. And I'm only saying H-E double hockey sticks because I've been drugged by a Baptist hospital. I've got to watch the language. But all you know what's breaking loose at the Tennessee State Capitol right now, just moments ago, the House Chamber, the House of Representatives, they voted to redistrict and break up Memphis into three separate congressional districts. And that has the Democrats fighting mad. People are hollering racism. I think people are storming the Capitol building. They're clashing with state troopers. People are yelling and saying all sorts of horrible things. Now, this is, you know, first of all, let's bring into the conversation. And we just played this bizarre audio from, we call her a Gloria. Well, her name is Gloria Johnson. She's about, I don't know, 6'6". She's a big gal. And she's from over in East Tennessee, and they grow them big in those parts. Well, not that big, but, you know, there's a lot of hills and hollers. And so she's accusing the Republicans of making this a white power rally and a white power grab. If you want to describe her as a white Medea, I think that's a fair assessment. I want to bring into the conversation Luke Symbol, a Republican strategist. And, Luke, you were at the state capitol yesterday. Describe the scene here, and this got to be a pretty exciting thing because this is what President Trump wanted.
Complete chaos in the Capitol yesterday and today. The protesters running around the hallways, beating on doors. They had to remove them from the committee hearings, chanting. But again, some violence. And actually, moments ago, State Representative Justin Pearson from Memphis, who is running, he was running for Congress against Steve Cohen.
Justin Johnson or Pearson?
Justin Pearson. Justin Pearson, moments ago just had to get removed from the chamber. He was screaming in the face of our law enforcement, our THP officers. He called a THP officer boy, got in his face and yelled, "You boy." Really inappropriate behavior.
Boy? Who are you calling a boy?
Really inappropriate. Can you believe if the roles were reversed there, what Justin Pearson would do? But just chaos. And look, the Supreme Court has said that you cannot draw congressional districts based on race. Our 9th district here in Tennessee was drawn based on race. It is an unconstitutional district, so it has to be changed. And that is what the Tennessee legislature is doing today.
And let's be clear about this, because the argument is it's racist. The black people of Memphis have no representation. For the past 19 years, they have been represented by a Democrat who happens to be a white dude.
Yep, a white dude. And what's interesting is this white dude, Steve Cohen, the Democrat representative from Memphis, he said he said that this is unbelievable that they're drawing a district from Memphis all the way to Middle Tennessee and Shelby County is going to be split three ways. Well, in 2002, this same person, Steve Cohen, when he was in the state legislature, voted as a Democrat to gerrymander the district for Democrats, and Shelby County was split three ways, and the district stretched from the Mississippi River to Middle Tennessee. So exactly what is happening today, he voted for 24 years ago, when it favored Democrats.
What the Democrats have done unto us, we must do to them.
That is exactly right. This is a partisan process. If you don't like it, you vote for a different state legislator. But this is federalism. This is the natural tension between the various branches of government. This is the natural tension between the states and the federal government. This is exactly how the process is supposed to work. Our founders knew that these natural tensions were important. They maintain our democracy, our republic, rather. And so the Republicans are doing exactly what we need to do.
All right. And again, I do want to say that we have some breaking news coming from the Tennessee State Capitol in Nashville.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starn Show.
As we mentioned, the House of Representatives passing that redistricting plan. It goes immediately to the Senate. And all hell is breaking loose. Oh, I said it. Dadgummit. All you know what's breaking loose inside the Capitol building as this mob basically clashes with law enforcement and Republican state lawmakers. Dylan, do we have some? We've got some of the audio, and we're going to play Justin Pearson, what you just shared, in a minute. But let's take a listen to what it sounded like. This is in the House chamber itself.
Pandemonium, Todd.
Wow. That's just insane. I don't know. I would have gotten bear spray or something. I mean,
and this is being led by Democrat lawmakers. These are not just activists that have shown up to the Capitol. The Democrat lawmakers in the House of Representatives in the state of Tennessee are leading this right now.
And this is, but this is what they do when they don't get their way. They call up the rent-a-mob and they try to terrorize the Republicans. And I have to tell you, I'm pretty impressed with the Republicans here in the state house. They are not intimidated. As a matter of fact, some of the lawmakers are actually laughing in their faces.
Yes. And one Republican lawmaker wore a Trump flag through the throng of protesters, wore a Trump flag around his shoulders that said "Trump 2024, no more BS" on the flag, and he wore it proudly. That is what we need to do. That is what Republicans need to do, is have a backbone. You laugh at their insanity and you don't back down, and I'm very proud of most of our Republican legislators in Tennessee right
now.
You know,
I'm watching this audio of Justin Pearson, and this is the big guy. I mean, let's describe him. So this is the guy that went to he portrays himself as sort of like a second coming of MLK and Malcolm X, and he's got the massive power fro, went to a private school in a very Tony private school in Maine, Bowdoin College. It's $40,000, $50,000 a semester just to go there. And the guy is very from a very well-off family, very well-connected, and he is trying to, I don't know, position himself as what, Jesse Jackson or something of that nature.
Yes, and he is race-baiting. I mean, he makes Obama look moderate on the issue. He is race baiting and nastiness and causing so much division. And again, in the face of law enforcement screaming at them. It is totally inappropriate.
We've got the audio. I want you to hear what just happened. This will be national news later this evening. Let's take a listen. I don't think he learned that word at Bowdoin College. So that's the state representative, the so-called preacher boy. Call him the MF, is that right? And call him the white state trooper boy?
The same one that went to a private college up in the Northeast that ran for student council president, whose the way in which he spoke sounded like he grew up in the Northeast at the richest private schools in the country. This is all an act, and it is disgusting. It is disgusting. And you heard him. You heard them saying pigs at law enforcement. You heard him. You all folks didn't see the video, but he got into the trooper's face and screamed, "Boy, what you doing, boy?"
I can't imagine. If this had been a race reversal here, you know exactly what would be happening literally all over the South. There would be riots in the street.
You are exactly right. And this sort of racism shown by Justin Pearson against white law enforcement is completely inappropriate. It must be condemned. And I would like to ask the Democrat Party of Tennessee, do you condemn Justin Pearson's racist, inappropriate comments towards law enforcement today?
This is just shocking. All of this is happening, and this will be national news tonight across America, happening in Nashville at this very moment. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And it is a great point, Luke. I think the Democrats have to come out and condemn this. You can't have a black lawmaker getting the face of a white state trooper and calling him a boy and calling him a pig and an MF-er. And God bless these state troopers, because
in the video, the state trooper is holding his hands up, backing away and refusing to engage. Good for him.
They have to, because again, you lay the hands on the guy. He deserves to be in jail right now.
You are exactly right.
I mean, he put his hands on state troopers. You or I did that, we'd be in jail right now.
Exactly. And I believe what led to this altercation was troopers were trying to remove somebody from the chamber, and Pearson was getting in the middle, pushing back against the troopers.
Wow. This is amazing. Now, we understand, not only in Tennessee, and this, we understand this is all going to happen later. The Senate's going to take it up later today, and this could all be decided by the end of the day.
Yes. Oh, it's gonna be decided probably within the next hour. The Senate is in. They are debating the last bill right now on the floor of the Tennessee Senate.
Wow. So we will bring you that breaking news. That'll probably happen sometime in the next hour of the show. Now we understand that Mississippi has agreed to step up, and they are going to redistrict as well. They're in a similar situation to Tennessee, smaller state, but only one Democrat district.
And they had to draw that district under the now unconstitutional idea that you had to have a majority-minority district.
And I want people to understand here, because this is not just, I mean, well, it's predominantly in the southern states, all right? But understand what their reasoning is. These black lawmakers say they have a constitutional right to only be represented by, number one, a Democrat, and number two, a black Democrat, but at least a Democrat. But they're saying that black citizens deserve and they must demand black representation. That is, not only is it unconstitutional, that is racism.
And offensive, that just because, what they're saying is that just because you are black, you must vote Democrat. That is so offensive to me, that just because you're black, you can't think for yourself. You vote Democrat. That is offensive and racist.
It's appalling. And I know we have a lot of black listeners in the Memphis area, and I'd like to hear from you on this, because you guys have been controlled by Democrats for generations. And what have we gotten for that? Luke, you've got the most deadly, the most dangerous city in America because the Democrats refused to address crime. It got so bad, President Trump had to step in, and he had to deal with the crime problem. You've got the worst schools in the state of Tennessee. 70% of the kids can't read or write, all controlled by Democrats. Everybody on the school board is a Democrat, predominantly black, all but one black Democrats. So when you take a look at what's happening in this city and in this area, you have to ask yourself, can the Republicans maybe do just a smidge better? I'm willing to bet they can.
Yep. If we have Republicans that are willing to stand up, stand strong and say, this is unacceptable. I don't care what you look like, what your background is. If you want a safe community, if you want good schools, vote for me. That is what we need. Get a Republican in the middle of inner city Memphis with a bullhorn and say, I care about you. Stop voting the way you have for decades. Try something new. You have nothing to lose.
Look, this is a lesson for every single Republican in America. Number one, do not abandon your grassroots. Do not shove them in a closet. You embrace them. You get them out there and you engage these communities wherever they are and stand alongside of them, work with them. And if you do that, you are going to win people over. There's a very big difference between actually caring and pandering. And far too often we see Republicans, they don't give a damn about the minority communities until election season comes along. And then it's just too late. So how about get involved in the community and use Memphis as an example of what good can come out of that. Luke, wow, what a crazy day.
Todd, thank you for having me, and thank you for bringing light to these stories, for sharing it on your national stage, because it's so important for the country. What is happening in Memphis and Tennessee is going to happen all across the country, and so thank you for doing that. And we have got to speak out against the black-on-white racism that we are seeing right now in the Tennessee Capitol with Justin Pearson getting in the face of white law enforcement, shouting boy, people shouting pigs. Just, it's disgusting behavior. We need to call it out. And I want to know, does the Tennessee Democrat Party condemn Justin Pearson's racist and evil remarks today?
All right. Luke, we're going to leave it there. Thank you again. A great, great analysis. And we're going to be paying attention to what's happening in Tennessee, also in Mississippi. We're wondering if other states might follow the lead. We've got to do this, folks. After what happened in Virginia, we just got to do it. And we've got to make sure we can do whatever we can to maintain control of Congress. Luke, good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Crazy situation in Nashville. Wow. Let's go to the phone lines. Steve in Little Rock, Arkansas. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. God bless you, brother. Glad you're back.
Thank
glad
you. Me too. Back. Me too.
I was looking the other day. You know, I'm kind of a math person. I like to do the math to work out on things. I was looking the other day at the percentage of representation in the House of Representatives by race, and every race works out pretty well to what the country population percentage breakdown is, except Hispanics. Hispanics only have about half of the representation in the House of Representatives that their population of the country. Why aren't these race baiters and all these protesters and all these people that are so concerned about equal race representation, why aren't they fighting for Hispanics to get their equal share?
Yeah, well, we all know the answer to that, Steve.
Because they're not controllable. They're not they won't vote just exactly like they're told, like the blacks will.
Steve, I'm a big fan of Chef Gordon Ramsay, and they do this TV show called MasterChef. So I was sort of binge watching, and they're doing an international version. So people from all different countries, and they come. And you know what I found interesting? There was a guy from he lives in California, and he's originally from Vietnam. He was just a kid when the family came over on the boat on the boats. And you know what's interesting? When you look at the Vietnamese people that came over to this country, all of them are so incredibly grateful, so thankful, some of the hardest working immigrants. They're business owners. They work their butts off. The family units are intact. And yet, then you look at, for example, countries like Somalia. They send over their folks, and you've got Minnesota with all the fraud and the grift and the corruption. So ungrateful. They hate our country. And they want us to conform to their old way of living. Vietnamese folks, they're all about being an American. What does that tell you about the kinds of immigrants we're bringing into the country?
Well, it should tell us something, but nobody wants to look at that.
No, they don't, and we ought to, because, again, our immigration system is broken. We need to be bringing people into the country that actually want to be here, you know, that love our country. But to your point, what about representation for them? And ultimately, we can't do that, because it cannot and it can never, it can just never be about race. It has to be about, it's got to be about the best and the brightest and not the skin color. And we got to get this under control. Steve, I got to run, my friend. It's good hearing from you. And I want to hear from all of you, ladies and gentlemen. Hour three of the big show coming up. We're going to be taking your calls, heading out to California, going to Virginia. We've got a lot more ground to cover. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Say, Councilwoman Robin acts like she doesn't have any authority with this homelessness. She was the third most powerful person in city council. She runs the homeless housing thing. She acts like this is just Mayor Bass. First off, inside safe, I like to say inside safe makes all of us outside unsafe. The reality is, no matter how many beds you give these people, they are on super meth. They are on fentanyl. The DEA statistic says 93% of this is a drug addiction problem. Nithya, Councilwoman Robin's plan for treatment first. I will go below the Harbor Freeway tomorrow with her, and we can find some of these people she's going to offer treatment for. She's going to get stabbed in the neck. These people do not want a bed. They want fentanyl or super meth. These ideas cost us over $400 million to house for 3,000 people for $400 million. This is an absolute failure for both of them. They're a team.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us. Hour three underway, and the voice you just heard is a man by the name of Spencer Pratt, a reality TV star who lost his home in the Palisades fires. And he is now running against Karen Bass and a city councilwoman to be the next mayor of Los Angeles. And let me tell you something, folks. This guy is gaining ground there in Los Angeles. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome into the program our good friend, Dr. Wendy Patrick, a career trial attorney and, of course, a great Newsmax columnist. Wendy, good to have you back on the program. And by the way, folks, you can follow her, Wendy Lynn Patrick on Instagram, Wendy Lynn Patrick on Facebook. Wendy, I want to get your take here. Are you surprised at how well Pratt is doing, and why do you think he's connecting with voters? All right, I think we may have a connection issue, so we're going to get back to Dr. Wendy in just one moment. Guys, please let me know when we've got that cleared up. I want to go back and play some of the audio from this insane debate that happened the other night. Here is Spencer Pratt talking about how dangerous the streets of Los Angeles are. Cut number two.
We needed a mayor 3 years ago that was going to Sacramento and fighting the governor to get uncapped tax credits. We need post-production tax credits. And Councilman Rahman will tell you, my husband's a producer, blah, blah, blah. The reality is she's been in power for 5 years. Now all of a sudden she has these tweets and these posts and she's doing Substacks. Both of these people have been the reason why There's no more Hollywood. Not to mention, even if they do, you know, these things, we're still going to have drug addicts all over the street because they're treatment first, open beds, not mandatory treatment. Do you know, I talk to producers, they have to pay gang members right now to keep the streets safe, to go film anything on the streets of LA. So absolutely no, these two politicians have failed Hollywood times a thousand.
Well, he's speaking a lot of truth there. All right, I want to welcome back in Wendy Patrick, a Newsmax columnist and trial attorney based in California. Wendy, good to have you with us. And I'm curious, are you surprised at how well Spencer Pratt is doing? And how do you think he's connecting with the voters there in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I'm never surprised when somebody is raising a common sense issue that matters to voters, whether or not he has the votes or the momentum to actually pull out a win. What a breath of fresh air to really be talking about what voters care about. Everybody that lives in that city, and I live close enough to be able to see the skyline from my house, we care about the problems that are created with a lot of the current policies, whether it's homelessness under a bridge, drug use, addiction. Those are all societal issues that are front and center in a large metropolis like Los Angeles. I would say they're front and center in lots of cities across the nation. But because we can couple that with so many other California issues right about now, including the fires, which this gentleman lost his home, we can pretty much safely say any candidate that's able to speak truth to the voters is going to do well in the polls.
I'm wondering what conditions are really like there on the ground. I think when a lot of folks hear of like, okay, yeah, they got a homeless problem. Well, we may have one in our community. You've got the guy sleeping on the park bench or, you know, sleeping on the sidewalk. That's my understanding is that's not what you guys are dealing with there in Los Angeles.
No, it's much different than that. And, you know, it's to the point where there are certain areas that many people avoid because it is so overrun. You can't get past on the street. Now, I say this, Todd, but I'm also always amazed at the extent to which sometimes they're relocated, sometimes overnight, and you wonder what happened. We had the same problem in San Diego, and they would have a lot of different types of measures. I mean, remember when Gavin Newsom was out there on television clearing homeless camps? Do you remember that, Todd?
I remember that, yeah.
We sort of go through cycles where it's worse, it's better, but one thing that never changes is the fact that it's a huge issue in a city like Los Angeles, and now that we're going into warmer weather, we want to make sure that anybody that's homeless is also taken care of so that they don't have heat stroke, not having the water, the shelter that they need. So it's a problem all across the board.
Wendy, there's a city councilwoman running, Nitha Rahman, and she came under a lot of fire as well. And Pratt, I was really impressed. Clearly, he's a political novice, but I think he came across as fairly earnest and a guy who has a pretty decent beef with City Hall. Their policies led to himself losing his home. He's not able to rebuild it. He's living in a trailer now. And I love how the local media tries to portray him as a millionaire. This guy actually punches back, says, I'm not a millionaire. I don't have a lot of money in the bank. You know, everything I had was in that house, and now it is gone because of the policies of these Democrats who've been ruling Los Angeles.
Yeah. And, you know, what I like about that is the common sense ability to connect with everyone. And, you know, I say everyone, I don't mean everybody who lives in a trailer or everybody who lost their home, but anybody that's lost anything and can identify with the chronology of falling upon, I don't want to say hard times. I mean, he's obviously has enough money, but times that really upend your life as you knew it. Anybody that's lost a home in a mudslide, boy, talk about California specific. I could say tornadoes for those that live on, you know, on the other coast. Anybody that's lost a lot of what they own can relate to the reality of the finger pointing begins afterwards. Whose fault was it? And are we living with policies that have the potential to disenfranchise anyone, especially when you're talking about something preventable like having enough water and the hydrants to be able to have what you need to prevent people from losing their homes to begin with. So these are things that he is saying that resonates with almost anybody listening.
Wendy Patrick joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And you can actually watch Wendy on our YouTube, Rumble, or Facebook Live video feeds right now. She is a Newsmax columnist and a career trial attorney based in California. You know, Wendy, I want to turn to the governor's race. I watched the debate the other night, and I am still impressed with Steve Hilton. I got to tell you, even Chad Bianco had some pretty good lines in there. How are things looking for the Republicans? I'm a hopeful man, but I'm not sure that's going to be enough at the end of the day. But how are things looking right now?
Oh, Todd, this is absolutely my wheelhouse. I love watching debates. I love talking about it afterwards. I love seeing the candidates get feisty, not just because it makes good television, but it's finally put the California governor's race on the map. There are so many candidates who will be on the ballot. To think about the front runners is now something that Californians are doing. The biggest issue that they're talking about to some extent, probably should be talking about it even more, is how to restore the California dream. That's not what people are living here in California. We've got the highest gas taxes. We do have nice weather, but we don't have the ability to spend the money we're making if we're even able to have the jobs that we want. And that no doubt accounts for the highest voting bloc right now, Todd, being undecided. And an undecided voting bloc means every debate counts. Every elbow thrown on the debate stage counts, because these are the ways the candidates are distinguishing themselves from one another. I do have to say the Swalwell dropout also engendered interest in this race, because it changed the playing field. Different people that didn't have a chance before suddenly were surging in the polls. It's really become the race to watch, and it's very interesting.
Wendy, I'm curious, if you were to grade the two Republicans, Steve Hilton and Chad Bianco, what sort of a grade would you give them on their debate performances?
Ah, and I'm glad you asked it just the way you did, Todd, because Steve Hilton is a natural in terms of doing well in front of the camera. So he came in with an advantage. British accent doesn't hurt him any either. He came in with a bit of an advantage in terms of presentation on the stage. But Chad Bianco brings law enforcement. I mean, he is a tough guy. He comes across as who he is. He's no nonsense. He wants the opportunity to be able to instill the programs that he believes in. He's not afraid to back down. He's very outspoken. So it's almost like if two people were able to hold the office, those two would be complementary to one another. So it's really going to depend a lot on who turns out at the polls, who fills out their ballots, because each of them appeal to a little bit of a different segment of the conservative demographic. It's really interesting to watch those two together.
I have to tell you, I like Hilton. I was left wanting more. I mean, and I think mainly because he is a media guy and this is his jam right here. And I really felt like he could have really hit home on a couple of big issues, one of them being the gas prices. And of course, they were blaming Trump for the higher gas prices. And Hilton pushed back and said, well, you know, it's because of the Democrat policies. I would have loved to have seen Hilton, you know, bring out like a Karl Rove, you know, whiteboard and say, here's what the gallon of gas costs, but here are all of the fees that you Democrats are imposing on all of us that nobody else has to pay for. And I think you have to really get that simplistic to really hit home with the voters. Am I being a little too harsh here?
No, I think that is a technique that we've seen others use to illustrate points exactly like that on live TV. Doesn't lend itself to a debate stage format, is probably what Hilton would say, but that doesn't mean it can't be in some type of a campaign ad. I mean, sometimes the best advice is to see, you know, what really makes headlines and resonates on other shows, on other advertisements. And you're right, it's a positive message in that it's exposing the reality behind why the taxes are so high. It's an entirely different rationale than why our regular taxes are so high. It's different. And it's different now also, Todd, because of the war in Iran. That is changing the dynamic even more. And it's really capitalizing on somebody like Hilton, who's, what is his tagline, Californability? I mean, it's right up his alley as to what he's chosen to emphasize as front and center in his campaign. I hope he's watching and listening.
I want to play this one clip. Katie Porter, she just creeps me out. I'm sorry. She just does. Here's a back and forth, and I want you to listen to what Chad Bianco had to say. I thought this was one of the more clever lines of the night. Cut number five, please.
Yeah, I mean, I think we ought to enforce the existing sanctuary laws everywhere so we don't have crazy cowboys taking the law into their own
hands. Tell that to a crazy mother who lost her child.
Sir, I don't need any lectures from you about being a mother.
Of course, you might.
Oh, jeez. what does Bianco know about Katie Porter that the rest of us don't?
Yeah, I knew you were going to play that clip, Todd. I knew you were going to play that because that is one of those instances where Chad Bianco probably, you know, wishes he hadn't said that last line. And part of it is the reaction, you know, especially when you have one woman on a stage of men, that's a dynamic to be reckoned with. We saw the same thing. In fact, we see the same thing year after year, and we just all have to be careful. I often think to myself, I wonder what it would look like if we had, you know, six women and one man on the stage. It would probably be the same kind of thing. Is no one wants to question each other's ability to parent, but at the same time, obviously, you know, his point was we want to make sure that everybody's making decisions that are safe for the community. It ends up being more about optics than topics sometimes.
Well, the good news is mashed potatoes were not thrown at anyone, so I think we can count that as a win for somebody. I don't know. Wendy, we've got to leave it there. You know how the radio business is. We've got to take a break, but we always love your great analysis. We're going to be checking back in with you very soon.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. The great Wendy Patrick, everybody. You can read her great work on Newsmax.com. And, of course, she is all over the social media feeds. All right, 901-260-5926, ladies and gentlemen. That is our telephone number. We'll be taking your calls this hour. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. And coming up in just a few moments, we're going to be checking with Josh Jones, our great Republican strategist, to see what's happening out there nationwide as we go through these redistricting battles and where all of this plays out. Now, of course, the big story is what's happening in Iran. And we do understand that there have been some apparently more attacks on ships in the Strait of Hormuz. Want to share this information from Fox News. The president says that he believes a peace deal could be a week away, but he's been saying that for a while. Now we understand that a Chinese-owned oil tanker was hit in the Strait of Hormuz. This happened just a little while ago. A report from Chinese media reporting the ship's deck caught fire. It remains unclear whether any crew were injured. So there you go. The latest, the blockade still in place and apparently really packing a wallop on Iran's economy as well it should. And it will. We will see how all of that plays out. All right. Our telephone number again, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Here is Scott Jennings on CNN last night talking about California. We just had a great conversation with Wendy Patrick. I want you to listen to how Jennings frames the conversation. Cut eight.
If the state has failed, if the education system has failed, if it's an affordability crisis, if we're only one of five states where people are actually leaving instead of going into, if they have all these problems, is it a good idea to have one party rule for so long? And Hilton, I think, has articulated that. I asked him yesterday, you know, is it possible for a Republican to get elected governor of California? He has a way to lay out the math that shows, yes, you could attract independents and even some disaffected Democrats who are sort of fed up with the fact that they live in a state that's beautiful and has all these things going for it, but has been so mismanaged that people hate living here so much that they're fleeing to Miami and other places. And, you know, watching this debate tonight, watching Democrats argue with each other about how to raise more taxes, how to further ruin health care, how to let in more illegal immigrants, it makes you believe that someone like Steve Hilton, if you just articulate the right question, sometimes that can get you pretty far
on,
in a campaign.
Scott, the only way a Republican wins in California is if it's somehow out of this crazy jungle primary, two Republicans make it. But if there is one Democrat against Steve Hilton, whether it's Tom Steyer, whether it's Javier Becerra, that Democrat is going
to
win.
And my response to that is, you're probably right. But my question is that a good thing? Is it a good thing for California to continue to just vote for the same party that has created all these problems that everyone seems to agree to exist?
Well, certainly no doubt about that. And again, it's if you're electing the same people every single time and your problems are not getting fixed, hate to say that, but that's on you. I mean, at the end of the day, it really is. And by the way, all you Republicans that, you know, I know some of you are a little butthurt about this or that. You got to get over that. We have got to get to the polls, and we've got to make sure that we are sending a very clear message. And one of the ways we can do that is hacking the polls at the primary. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but that's what we've got to do. All right, hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Well, I'm trying to figure out, Dylan, how to describe the image I was just sent from inside the usually austere, rather dignified chambers of the Tennessee Senate. You know, at the politics in the South, it's all very, in the South, you know, we revere our politicians. And the Capitol buildings are somewhat sacrosanct, if you will, and you know, there's a lot of cigar smoke and leather chairs and men in suits. And I'm right now looking inside the Senate chamber at a live shot of a full-figured woman standing on a Senate desk. And I at first I thought, oh, wow, this is the Pink Pony Dance Club. But no, it is actually the Tennessee State Senate. And before you ask, I have no idea what the inside of the Pink Pony Dance Club, I'm just imagining that it would look something like a political arena. So there you have it. The latest there, as now the Senate gets ready to vote on this redistricting plan that is causing chaos and commotion around the nation. Well, help us figure all of this out. Our good friend Josh Jones, our great Republican strategist, who is, and Josh, I just want you to know, first of all, I greatly appreciate all of your kind words and messages, and I am happy to say I've made it through almost 3 hours of radio today.
That's good to hear, Don. I'm glad you're doing better. But, hey, be a good patient. Listen to whatever the doctors say.
Yeah, well, I will do my best. So, look, here's what's happening in Tennessee. It's chaos at the Tennessee State Capitol. And I'm wondering, are you surprised here and your reaction that Tennessee lawmakers are going to get rid of that one Democrat congressional district?
I don't think so. And Democrats shouldn't be surprised, particularly Democrat elected leaders. I mean, if you look at California, Virginia, you know, our state just got gerrymandered. Now it's going to the Supreme Court to see if it holds up because the Democrats essentially rigged the system and rushed it along. So, no, I don't think Democrats should be surprised, particularly after the Supreme Court struck down the provisions of the VRA that relate to minority-specific districts. So, look, this is something that Democrats have started to escalate across the country, and Republicans are responding in kind.
When after Tennessee wraps up, and this is a done deal, I think within the next 20 minutes we're going to know, and then we'll move to the state of Mississippi, where a very similar situation. They've got one Democrat Senate seat or congressional seat belongs to Benny Thompson. His name just completely flew out of my mind. Anyway, it's one congressional district for the Dems, and looks like Mississippi is going to do the same thing that Tennessee did.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is about leveling the playing field as we head into the midterms. After what they did in Virginia, keep in mind, Virginia's a swing state. It's not something where, oh, 90% of the state votes Democrat anyways. No, we're pretty 50-50 down the middle, and they drew a 10-1 map. So, look, I like, you know, not gerrymandering, having nonpartisan districts, keep things competitive. But, look, if the system's rigged, you have to fight fire with fire.
But I think there's also a message here, and look, Josh, you've been covering politics a long time, and you know, I can't find anywhere in the Constitution where it says that congressional districts have to be gerrymandered specifically to let a specific race of people have a majority of the vote.
Yeah, you're right, and that's what the Supreme Court upheld in the most recent case a couple weeks ago at this point, or we may be coming up in a month. But that's what the Supreme Court said as well. It said, look, hey, there's nowhere, no provisions, no statute law, no common law that says that congressional districts have to be drawn on the basis of race or specifically accommodating on the basis of race. Now, look, you do want districts to be as fair as possible across the board, but in terms of mandating that had to be included as part of that process is just not accurate.
Josh Jones on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. So when we look towards the midterm elections, and you do have to wonder if any of those lawmakers in Indiana are regretting their decision not to go forward with the move here. First, were you surprised that 5 out of the 7 lost their seats in the Republican primaries? And what message do you think that sends to other Republicans who may be opposing the president's agenda here?
I'm not particularly surprised that they lost their primaries in Indiana because, number one, it was such a high-profile thing at the time because they were the only other state that had introduced the measure or been discussing the measure. So it drew a lot of national attention, also attention of President Trump. And look, President Trump was on the other side of the issue of that from them. And he's very much still in charge of the party, and I think the results in Indiana support that look, they still follow President Trump, and they support, you know, his agenda and the America First movement. So, one, not surprised that they lost their primaries. We'll see what the Indiana state legislatures do leading up to the November. If they go back and revisit the redistricting plan or not is to be determined, but we'll see. So, I mean, look, Indiana, Virginia, Texas, California. And also, too, I want to address the Democratic talking point that, oh, Republicans started this in Texas. Well, that's just not true. If you go back 2 years before Texas redistricted, New York did the exact same thing, where they drew out Republican districts intentionally for the purpose of giving Democrats an upper hand.
And look, both parties do this, and I'm with you. I don't like it, you know, but you got to play the Democrats' game here. And I know, for example, going back to Tennessee, Steve Cohen, when he was a state senator in the state house, he voted on a gerrymander that took that congressional district from Memphis all the way to Nashville. And that's the Republicans are just doing what the Democrats did to them, and they don't like it. You know, the issue I have is, okay, we can do tit for tat, but at the end of the day, we've got to have some sort of a conversation here about what is, in fact, fair representation.
You're right. I'm right there with you. Like you said, I do not like gerrymandering. I think it's something that we shouldn't have to be going down, because to your point, it's just a war of escalation in the sense of it's a tit for tat. Republicans do it, Democrats will do it. Republicans do it, Democrats will do it. So we need a resolution here. And I think we saw an example back pre-Abigail Spanberger in Virginia of what that could look like. In Virginia, we had the fairest maps in the country up into the referendum a month ago. Where we had a nonpartisan commission draw the lines, and if that system failed, then the Supreme Court of Virginia would draw the lines, and we had the fairest maps in the country because of it. I think if you could see something like that implemented on the national level, we had these nonpartisan and independent commissions backed up by the state Supreme Court as a fail-safe, that it would fix a lot of problems here. And look, that's something I would totally support, like it equal, apply equally across all states and help get their actual message and elected leaders that they want into office.
Josh, real quick before we let you go, I want to ask you about Virginia. It just seems to me that Virginia voters, and especially Republican, but I would like to think independent voters, should be just as enraged. You know, that all of these Democrats, and especially Spanberger, she campaigned on being a moderate. She was asked specifically about redistricting on the campaign trail, said she would not do that. This woman lied. I mean, there's no hedging it. She lied. She misrepresented herself to the voters, got elected. And I'm just wondering, are you hearing of any blowback? There are people, you know, regretting their votes or regretting not voting, anything?
I mean, there's definitely Republicans, obviously, and a good fair amount of independents that are upset with Spanberger and the Democrats in Virginia because, like you said, they blatantly lied to them. I think that's proven by the fact of, if you look at the governor's race from a year ago, where Abigail Spanberger essentially won like 14, 15 points, give or take, whereas this referendum won by about 3 points. I mean, that's a huge swing to the Republican side of things. And I think that's a representation that, look, a lot of these voters feel fooled by Abigail Spanberger because she lied to them. And I think that's emblematic of the entire Democratic Party right now. Their playbook is run as a moderate, and then as soon as they get into office, just run to the left.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, Josh. I know you're on the road, normally joining us by video, but we sure do appreciate you taking time for us today. Thanks a lot, Josh.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. The great Josh Jones laying it all out there, and a lot of moving parts. Again, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. I do want to go to Collierville, Tennessee, and Justin joins us. Justin, what is on your mind? I got a lot of people talking about what's happening at the Tennessee State Capitol today.
Well, Todd, I first want to start off and say that I'm glad that you're back and you're healthy. We were all praying for you to, get back in the station. We miss hearing your voice. Also miss seeing your post on social media. So I've been watching the special session the last 2 days. So it's a done deal now. The House and Senate passed the new congressional maps, and it heads to the governor's desk to sign. I think a lot of people here, especially in Shelby County, we're relieved now that, you know, three Republicans will have a chance to have representation in Shelby County. And I don't see how this doesn't benefit Memphis. And, you know, it was just funny just listening to all the Democrats in the special session testify of how they're saying how it's benefited Memphis to have one Democrat congressional seat. And if you've lived here or visited Memphis, you know that we have not fared well under Democrat control.
No, when I hear that kind of conversation, first of all, they're like, well, this is a black district and we deserve black representation. Okay, you've had a white dude representing you for almost 20 years now. But just put that aside for a minute. What good have the Democrats done for the people of Memphis, Tennessee? And I don't see anything, any benefit that they've had having a Democrat represent them in Congress.
Yeah, especially, I mean, Cohen, he's always been at odds against the other congressional delegates that are Republican in Tennessee. So his thing was, well, I could go to a Democrat president if we flipped over, but it just doesn't add up. The whole argument was about race, and you could tell they had scripted questions that they basically grandstanded in committees in the House and Senate to try to make this all about race. But this was never about race. It was about Democrats controlling or keeping power in the House of Representatives. So I think everybody's seen through their argument, and I've even talked to people that don't even really care about politics. Everybody in Tennessee, especially Shelby County, has been watching what's happening this week. Because in a way, this feels like almost our second liberation besides the deployment of the Memphis Safe Task Force that we won't be under Cohen's thumb anymore.
No, that's true. And he can always get a job working the drive-thru at the KFC. You know, the guy loves his fried chicken, right?
Yeah, he does, old clucking Cohen.
Indeed. That's one way to put it there. Justin, we got to leave it there. Thank you for those kind words, and it's good to hear your voice, and great to hear your observations, and I want you to give us a holler back. There are so many national implications to what's happening now, and Tennessee is one of those states in play. It matters. Thanks a lot, Justin. All right, we've got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Dylan, I can't get over this image. We've got it up on the social media feeds. This rather full-figured gal, she's in a dress, and I don't know ladies' fashion, but it's what's that? What's the movie? There was a movie, a Pixar movie. I think it was a Pixar movie where all of the citizens of Earth, all of the jobs have been taken over by the robots. So all they did was stay home, and they became these, like, I guess, bloatious blobs.
Yes, you're referring to Wally.
Wally.
Yeah.
She looks like one of the citizens of Wally. It's a lovely outfit, I suppose. Anyway, this woman is literally standing on her on a desk. I don't know if this is the actual senator. They're in the Tennessee State Senate chamber, this stately, you know, with the columns and the leather chairs, all of that. And and she's standing there like she's almost dancing in some sort of a club. Never seen anything like this. And I'm only hoping that the senators are not throwing dollar bills, right? Because it's not a dance club. And ladies and gentlemen, we do have some breaking news.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starnes Show.
This is an exclusive to the Todd Starnes radio show. Our good friend, the Tennessee State Senator Brent Taylor, and he was the man responsible for bringing the National Guard to the Memphis area. He has just announced exclusively to us that he is running for Congress. State Senator Taylor is going to run in the district previously held by Congressman Steve Cohen. So this is huge breaking news. I want to read the statement from the now the candidate for Congress, Brent Taylor. He said that I am thrilled to announce my campaign. He said that Tennessee's new congressional map has created an opportunity to deliver another strong Republican voice to Congress and secure a brighter, safer, and more conservative future for our state and our country. He says, I've been on the front lines fighting for the people of Tennessee and Memphis, and he's been fighting to help crack down on violent crime, arrest dangerous criminals, protect our children, and rid our streets of illegal aliens. He also called out what he called the soft-on-crime, Soros-backed district attorney, allowing the community to be terrorized by criminals. He also called out a bunch of the Democrats, Justin Pearson, the guy who called the state trooper a boy, as well as Congressman Cohen. He said they've incited radical liberals who have attempted to destroy Memphis, and he promises to fight every single day for the good people of this. I got no doubt that he's going to do that, and we'll definitely try to get him on the phone. And he'll also be a great supporter and defender of the America First movement. All right. Wow, Dylan, we made it through the show.
You made it, Todd.
I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, but you needed to get back on the radio.
But yes, so this is it wasn't too bad, right? We got lost a little bit in the Isaac Hayes stuff.
It happens.
But you know,
reminiscing.
What are you gonna do? I mean, it is what it is.
We're all glad you're back, Todd.
Good. So I didn't keel over. I didn't just nod off during.
No, you look good. You sound good.
All right. We just want to make sure. We're going to do this all over again tomorrow. Tomorrow, Open Line Friday. May even throw in some trivia stuff tomorrow and some crazy stories. We'll talk politics, but we've got some non-political stories to talk about as well, including whether or not you would allow a woman to live in her car in your neighborhood. They're actually having that debate right now in Colorado, and we'll tell you it's a crazy story, and we'll cover all of that tomorrow as well. Folks, if you haven't done so, head over to our website, go check out our stories, download our podcast, our newsletter, and also be sure to check out my brand new book. It'll be out in stores very soon. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. I want you to get a copy of this, actually get two or three. Trying to figure out how much of the insurance is going to cover from the past couple of weeks. So, no, get out there. Get a copy of the book. You're going to love it. I can promise you that. All right, folks, what an honor to be back with you. Thank you, and we will be back tomorrow.